The conversation turns to our science and technology segment, and today taking another look at sugar lurking in places we're not looking for it. There's increasing awareness, I think, among most South Africans that sugar, and particularly the consumption of too much sugar, brings with it significant health risks. And yet, as we've heard from guest after guest after guest on this show, there are still so many products which we commonly consume without a second thought, without realizing that they do in fact have very high sugar content. It is hiding in everything from our tomato sauce to our breakfast cereals, even our yogurt. And distressingly, according to recent research conducted by a team at Wits University, it's also there hiding in the food we're feeding our babies. Now on the line with me to talk to us more about this research is Professor Karen Hoffman, who was integrally involved in this study. She is a program director at the Medical Research Council's Center for Health Policy and Decision Science at Wits University. Karen, thank you so much for your time and welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure. Hi, Pippa.
Let's talk about the nature of the study. How wide did you cast the net, and how many different baby food items did you actually look at?
Well, we looked at about 200 items from 12 different manufacturers in local supermarkets, baby cereals, jars of processed food, items that were targeted at children under the age of 12 months.
Okay, so it's not that parents are perhaps buying inappropriate food for their babies. This
is specifically
food that is targeted and marketed to those
Correct.
Needing to feed a baby. Okay, important to get that. Right, so 200-odd products that you looked at. What did you look for when you went about assessing the sugar content?
We looked at how it compared to the recommended sugar intake and whether this was added sugar or freely occurring sugar. So we sort of look at how many teaspoons the WHO says people should take in, especially children, definitely not more than 6 per day. But as you said right at the beginning, if you look at all of the things that we're eating, it adds up pretty quickly.
It really does. I mean, I think most of us would go, well, I never eat as much as 6 teaspoons of sugar a day. At most, there's maybe 1 teaspoon going into a cup of coffee or a little bit here or there. But it's all those ones we don't realize we're ingesting that add up. Now, you talk about recommended sugar intake and the kind of sugar. Let's just elaborate on the kind of sugar. What do you mean by freely occurring sugar versus added sugar?
So the added sugar is very clear. By the way, the average South African doesn't know this, but they consume approximately 24 teaspoons of sugar each per day. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
All right. But to go back to the added, so the added is what is put in extra. The freely occurring is what gets into the product that usually is processed by mashing it up and adding other preservatives. So that it's sitting in there for a long time and is equally, difficult for the body to take in the sense that the body reacts to sugar by producing insulin and exhausts the pancreas.
Okay, so that brings us to the question of let's maybe elaborate a bit on why this is such a concern. Before we talk in detail about what you found specifically, let's expand. Besides exhausting the pancreas, what are the risks of having too much sugar in your diet?
Well, for babies, it's particularly creating a sweet tooth which lasts for a lifetime. And related to sugar, it's the way that the body processes sugar. It exhausts the pancreas. You can get diabetes, which leads to eye disease, kidney disease, and amputations, and obesity as well, which leads to high blood pressure and strokes. Most people don't realize that too much sugar can be responsible for, there's a strong association with certain cancers.
Okay, that's really interesting. Elaborate a little bit, which cancers in particular have that association?
So, in particular, breast cancer and bowel cancer, which are some of the most common in South Africa, have very strong associations with too much sugar.
Okay, that's pretty scary stuff. Of course, I also am going to add the dentist visit to that list because
exactly.
of us who grew up in the 70s and 80s knew that too much sugar could lead to tooth decay. But of course, we know much more. It's a far bigger problem than that. You mentioned that the average South African has 24 teaspoons per day. That's 4 times the recommended maximum that the World Health Organization sets.
Right.
Just remind us what the outcome is in terms of our obesity stats.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that certainly in terms of childhood obesity, we have some of the highest rates in the world at 13%. Around the globe, it's about 6%, which is still much too high. And that continues through adolescence and into early adulthood. It's very difficult after adolescence to shed the pounds that or kilos that we have. We've already established strong patterns, and so we can go on what we call diets, but actually we need to change the way we eat altogether, so that if we don't do that, the issue continues, as I say, into adulthood, and we're stuck with that problem beyond adolescence.
Okay, so this is sobering stuff you're sharing with us. Four times the recommended dosage of sugar in our average diet, and more than double the global rate of childhood obesity. And let's now look at why that is. So when you looked at these 200 baby food products, what did you find? Talk us through some of the products you looked at and what you found out about their sugar content.
Right. So the most difficult to come to terms with are the cereals. Those had a lot of added sugar, and clearly the fruit purees had very high levels of sugar. So about 4 teaspoons in each little serving. A serving is whatever, you know, that little bottle is, or, you know, the little packets. So only about 20% of the foods that we analyzed, so 1 in 5 of the products we looked at, had acceptable levels of sugar, which is less than 20% of total calories derived from sugar.
Sure. 1 in 5. Okay, which means, of course, 4 in 5 were above the recommended rate.
Correct, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Karen, what is the takeaway from this? Where do we go with this information other than making parents aware and spreading the news that they need to be more mindful of sugar in places that they're not specifically looking for it?
Right.
How do we firstly make them look for it, and secondly make the manufacturers of these products declare it?
So I think that the main message is that people should make their own foods for children. It's not, I don't think, too onerous to ask the mothers or fathers to mash a bit of, you know, sweet potato or some other vegetable and serve that with, you know, milk over the 6 to 12 months. Breast milk, of course, is the best and could be continued ideally till 12 months, but many people wean their children around 6 months. I think the big question for the country is mandatory disclosure on labels. And we look to Chile for an example of their octagonal logo, which just says, you know, danger, too much sugar. And I think we must encourage the parents of South Africa to limit the sweet processed commercial baby foods. That would be my take home.
And I suppose, conversely, we need to be encouraging the baby food manufacturers to offer us healthier alternatives and demand sugar-free or reduced sugar versions of the product. In the CBD is just WhatsApp saying it's not always viable to make your own baby food. With both parents working these days, it's not so easy for all. And I'm mindful of that. I'm particularly mindful for parents who are commuting a long way to work and are maybe only getting home at the end of a long, long day at 7 or 8 o'clock and don't have the time and the energy, on top of all the other things they've still got to do, to make their own food. We would love to see a case where there are healthier alternatives available in the shops. Karen, I suppose that's only going to come if consumers start demanding it.
Correct. And I would just encourage consumers to demand it.
Okay. And then, I'm interested to hear about that logo in Chile. So you said they've got a specific logo which is easily recognizable that tells
What it is, it's an octagonal logo with, you know, 8 sides. It's in black and white. And it basically says, you know, too much sugar, or another one says too much salt, or another one says too much fat. So it's just very easy, front of pack. You don't have to look on the back of a pack, you know, in tiny, tiny font, which you can hardly read or understand. So it makes it very accessible to the average man or woman in the street.
And how long have they had that kind of labeling in place? Is it long enough for us to be able to sort of track the impact?
Yeah, so it's been in place for a couple of years, and there's absolutely no question that it's had an impact in the sense that people are buying fewer of those products.
Okay.
They've done that study, yeah.
That's very good news indeed. Okay, the question then is, Karen, what happens to this research? Will you be presenting it to those who are in a position to start activating for change on this topic?
Well, I think there are two groups of people that could deal with it. The one certainly are, the, as I said, the parents of this country, and the other is the Department of Health, and as far as I know, they're certainly well aware of this.
Mm-hmm. Karen, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the findings of the study?
No, I just think, you know, just be aware, know that there's a lot, as you said right at the beginning, a lot of hidden sugar lurking in many products, and one of the issues that certainly babies would eat would be, one of the foods that babies would eat would be yogurt. There's a ton of sugar in yogurt.
Okay, sobering stuff. Professor Karen Hoffman, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. She's Program Director at the Medical Research Council Center for Health Policy and Decision Science based at Fitz University, and they were involved in conducting this research. So this is a substantial study, over 200 different products looked at, and they are all widely sold in supermarkets in South Africa. So we're talking about the stuff that is being offered en masse to parents in South Africa. And Claire, I take your point on the WhatsApp line, that it is not as simple as saying make your own. Not all parents have the capacity of time to do that, particularly in families where everybody is working, and particularly in families where there is a long day and a long commute, that and little energy left at the end of the day. But it is such an important topic to be mindful of. Glenn's on the WhatsApp line saying, never mind baby food, what about kids' cereals, which are somewhere between 20% and 33% sugar? Baby food trains and addicts kids to this stuff. Well, that was the point she made, Karen, is that if you are unwittingly feeding this to your children, or even knowingly feeding it to your children, you are potentially setting them on a path to lifelong bad health habits, because you are creating the sweet tooth and feeding the addiction that could then play out into their later food choices. Absolutely, please read the boxes on the cereals that you're buying for use on your own table. It will absolutely raise your hair. To see what goes into some of those. WhatsApp saying, I missed your guess. I just want to double check if there is sugar in plain yogurt too. Yes, there can be. You need to be reading the labels on the specific variation that you're buying. That's the bottom line. Don't assume that because it is, for example, a low-fat yogurt. That's one of the worst offenders, because they substitute sugar to try and increase the palatability of the product, because they're replacing what's been lost from the fat, if I can put it that bluntly. Read the labels. Don't take it as for granted that because it's got a green label, or it's marketed as a low-fat product or a healthier or a lower-fat product, that it is necessarily low in all the other nasties as well. Please be mindful of that, particularly when it comes to yogurt. It is something that so many people assume is a healthy product, and it is not necessarily so. Thank you so much for those WhatsApps. And yeah, if you would like to read up more about the particular products that were looked into, it was a wide variety of them. The research has been published quite widely online, but you're searching for Professor Karen Hoffman, or just type in VITS study baby food sugar, and it'll link you to the full report on what they found. Pretty scary stuff.